Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Watcher podcast. My name is Saad Salman. I'm the founder and editor of the Royal Watcher, a royal commentator, and a royal contributor for alt.com.
My name is Sam Gillespie. I am the editor of the Beaumont. I have a background in fine jewelry and a long-held fascination with history and royalty.
Today, we have a very special episode for you today because earlier this month, Sam and I had a really amazing day where we got to meet the Queen of Malaysia.
Yes, it was a completely unexpected, unforgettable experience, which also happened on my birthday, which was very nice. But yeah, an amazing experience that we are very grateful for and we'll probably never forget.
I know. I think that was one of the top 10 experiences that I've ever had, and it'll definitely be a day to remember.
Definitely.
Yeah, so we'll kind of start with talking about why we were at the Malaysian High Commission and then reveal a bit about what we did and how our visit went.
Yeah.
So we both arrived an hour before closing time, because that's when the Queen told us to come. And the Queen was hosting an exhibition called Abstract Nature at the Malaysian High Commission in London as part of London Craft Week, where she was displaying textiles and traditional Malaysian displays as part of kind of her foundation, but really to highlight Malaysian culture and craftsmanship.
Yes. And craftsmanship is something that, you know, both me and Saad are very passionate about, me coming from the fine jewelry industry. But Saad, you have a background in textiles, don't you?
Yes. I mean, my father has a degree in textile engineering, and so we kind of grew up with that. And then I've done a degree in art history, where I learned about specifically Malaysian kind of indigenous textiles, ikat textiles, which we're going to talk about later. If for those watching on YouTube and other platforms, you can see right on the left-hand side of the picture, there's these traditional Malaysian ikat textiles and also carvings, which were a big part of my degree. And so I really felt at home and I could see kind of what the physical manifestation of the objects and the techniques that we had studied really in person. These were the finest examples that these cultures produced.
Yes, and it was very amazing. And there was a gentleman in the room on the left-hand side, and just not in this picture, but who was actually doing a demonstration of the carvings. And what I found fascinating was that they're carved from a single piece of wood. And it, you know, the carving is very, very intricate. And it one of its features is, as you can see on the right-hand side now, sort of chains, links in chains. And those are cut from a single piece of wood. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly, but they're not pieced together. They're carved out of one block of wood and they're all interlocking at the same time.
Yes.
If that makes sense, which I found fascinating.
They move as well. Yeah.
They do. They move like just, you know, a natural piece of material wood, but like we say, it's from just a single piece of wood.
And so, yeah, the level of kind of craftsmanship that's required to make this is just amazing. And the fact that the Queen brought these craftsmen to London to really highlight the rich cultural heritage of Malaysia was just awesome to see.
Yes, and I think that was a big theme that Her Majesty was trying to convey, that Malaysia is, you know, a wonderful country with such beautiful history of art history as well. And it's fascinating that she's promoting these homegrown techniques that are very individual and unique and can't really be replicated outside of the country. So it's great that she's chosen to highlight this.
Of course, yeah. And then the King and Queen were initially in London for the coronation of King Charles. And among the objects on display there was this, the gift that they were presenting King Charles for his coronation was this a beautiful carved wooden coronation emblem, which is also made by these traditional craftsmen.
Yep, and as we all know, of us who did royal watching, King Charles is a great proponent and a great supporter of craftsmanship, of sustainable craftsmanship. So I imagine he would have been very, very pleased with a gift like this.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I believe when the Queen held this exhibition last year, she had the Princess Royal and the Duchess of Gloucester who came to support it. I'm not sure who came this time, but we saw a bunch of VIPs and a couple of more visited as well, which we'll talk about later. So definitely it had a huge impact in London. So among the kind of textiles, so we talked about the ikat textiles on the right over here, but there were also textiles from the Queen of Terengganu, He was a friend of the Queen of Malaysia and also one of the queens of the nine Malay Sultanates. And it was really interesting to see kind of the different heritage styles. So you can see in the foreground here, there's this traditional gold block printing where they print all these patterns all on gold leaf. So it's very intricately worked out, and then it's very expensive to do as well.
And I can imagine it takes a great deal of training and expertise to even get, you know, close to this level of craftsmanship.
Oh, definitely. And then kind of the main part, which Sam and I were really lucky to hear about from the Queen herself, because when we arrived, she was doing an interview, and rather than talk to the interviewer, she explained to us why she has held this exhibition is because the majority of these objects, the textiles and the kind of rush mats and the straw things and the wooden carvings, these are techniques that the Queen has taught to incarcerated individuals in jails in Pahang, which is their native state, which are these dying crafts habits and like all these rituals that are not being passed down. So she's been teaching these to incarcerated individuals. They're able to make a living while they're incarcerated. And once they're released, they have the skills and also a guaranteed kind of income for life, so they do not fall back into a life of crime.
Yes, and that's such an admirable thing. You know, the fact that she is so personally involved. I mean, I think she told me and you that she personally visits the prisons and makes sure that, you know, they're being looked after and being trained correctly. And it's also reviving, well, not reviving, not that it ever went out of fashion, but, you know, that she's helping in the continuation of these skills, but also providing people with a lifeline. Because wasn't there what were the numbers she said again, Sad? You know, before she started this program, there weren't that very many weavers, and now...
I think she said there are 15 craftsmen left that knew these kind of traditional textiles and stuff. And then she's now, I think there are above 150 that work for the foundation. So really, that's really reviving all these traditional techniques and stuff, which would have gotten lost within a generation or two otherwise.
100%.
So no, that was, I think, one of the most important things. And then, so we talk about the Queen of Terengganu's textiles. And this image, you can see at the top, there's this yellow songet, which I don't know if you know about the white rajas of Sarawak, Sam, but for, I believe, 110 or 120 years, from the 1830s to the mid-1940s, the state of Sarawak in Malaysia was ruled by a British family. They were called the Brooke family. And then in 1946, they abdicated and moved back to Britain. But they still do have some ties to Malaysia. They have a fort there. And the current kind of titular Raja, who doesn't really have any legal status like the other Malay sultans, but he has established a museum back in Sarawak. And he loaned this from the last Rani, who was a really kind of famous figure. This songet, which was a really traditional Malay piece that's really worn in Sarawak. And the Queen also showed us an example of her wearing something from Sarawak as well on her wedding day, and how she really wanted to incorporate that sort of culture into it as well.
It's wonderful. So kind of a unique sort of oddity of throwback from the days of colonialism. But it's nice that it maybe had a positive impact, which, you know, 99% of colonialism, I'm afraid, didn't.
Yes, I mean, this one, they do still have a link. And I mean, Malaysia is unique, where except Sarawak, the majority of it would still have their indigenous rulers, and they still have them to this day. So that was kind of one of an oddity, in a sense, but they really incorporated themselves into the indigenous customs in a way. And this is an example of that.
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful piece.
It's, yes. And I think when we were in the ground floor seeing the example, we're talking about how this is made from gold thread. So these are very valuable.
Very.
And this kind of stayed in a chest in an English, I believe it's in Devon. They have a country house there, and it's been a chest there for the past 7 or 8 years.
Well, it's in remarkable condition.
Oh, yeah. So we talked about this, and then the Queen was really kind of amazing. She invited, so me and Sam went on the 8th of May, and then a few days later, the Queen told me to come back. And this time, she took me to go see the amazing dress that she wore to the coronation of King Charles, which has been making quite a stir on social media, and it was just amazing to see it in person.
Yes, and it's a wonderful colour, and I believe, didn't Her Majesty say that it's the... the national color, or am I talking?
Yes. So yellow is the royal color in Malaysia. And the particular pattern she's wearing is the Brunei kind of pattern of the Baju Kurung. So this had really beautiful sequin embroidery. And then you can see kind of in the picture on the right, this is how Her Majesty wore it on the day of the coronation. So with her Manolo Blahnik shoes and bag, and then just she really stood out. And I think everyone in the royal watching community really thought that Her Majesty looked amazing because she brought a bunch of diamond brooches and a huge diamond necklace.
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of our gripes in the last episode, that we were being told that, you know, tiaras weren't going to be featured in this coronation. So, you know, Her Majesty's jewels were spectacular and definitely sort of more than made up for the lack of headgear.
Yes, though, as Her Majesty did reveal to us, she would have actually been wearing more jewels. She was going to cover herself with a couple of more diamond butterfly brooches. But as she told us, that none of the maids knew how to fasten them on the day of, so she decided to go without. But that would have been quite an interesting sight as well.
That would have. Maybe the next big event.
Yes, hopefully. But no, it was, I think, so amazing to see, because last year's exhibition at the Malay High Commission was really showcasing Her Majesty's own outfits. This year is more focused on kind of the indigenous textiles and stuff. But this was an example. It wasn't on display on the first day when we visited, but then the next time I went back, she really took me personally to go see it, and she wanted me to kind of highlight the work that's been done by the Malay craftsmen and how it was very important for her to wear a national dress at an important event like this and showcase the Malaysia at its highest level.
Yes, and you know, from what you know from our conversation with Her Majesty, you definitely got the feeling that she was very, very proud of the of the skills that her, you know, her countrymen possess, and it was very, very important to her to promote this throughout the world. So this, you know, being part of London Craft Weeks was very important to her, and she was so proud to show off the works of art that her craftsmen were producing from Malaysia. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, and I mean, I was talking to Her Majesty before the coronation, and we were discussing the dress code, and in addition to kind of highlighting national dress, she was very kind of keen to be properly attired, because she was disappointed that tiaras weren't going to be worn. She was the one who told us, let's be honest, that they weren't going to be worn. We were quite disappointed by that. But then she said that they need to really highlight, because the more they dress up, it's really not about them. It's about representing their country at the highest stage. And one of the things that I had told her was that Your Majesty should kind of wear all the diamonds you like, because I know Queen Maxima will probably be wearing her biggest diamonds. And so Her Majesty did listen to me. And then she told me later on that on the coronation day that she went up to Queen Maxima and told her, look, I'm wearing my necklace because the royal watcher told me you'd be wearing your big diamonds. And then she said, Maxima pointed to her hands, look, he was right. So that was just a surreal moment. And I think me and Sam both had.
Yes, that Queen Maxima now knows who Sad is.
Yes, it was lovely to be a part of.
Lovely to be a part. Let's hope, you know, they might, you know, drop your name into the royal WhatsApp group going, oh, we should ask Sad what we're wearing. Yeah, they'll know.
I mean, I'm on hand. If Queen Maxima is listening right now, Your Majesty has lots of suggestions.
Oh, yes.
So that was a kind of going into our meeting with Her Majesty, is that she had initially told us to write earlier in the day, and then she sent me a message that morning to come by 4 p.m. because the exhibition closed at 5. We both arrived. I had sent her a message that I've arrived. And then Her Majesty popped out onto her drawing room and then took me and Sam both into her private sitting room, which was just a surreal experience. So just a few hours earlier, the King and Queen of Bhutan had been visiting the exhibition, which is the same day that Sam and I went. And so I sat where the King of Bhutan sat, Sam sat where the Queen was sitting. And then Her Majesty explained the entire exhibition to us in that same way. So we saw all the textiles, the carvings, the straw products, and it was just a surreal experience.
Yeah, I kept having to discreetly pinching myself. And just, you know, the way Her Majesty was talking, she was so, you know, graceful and welcoming and enthusiastic. And I was just sitting there thinking, the Queen of Malaysia. I'm sitting in the sitting room with the Queen of Malaysia. This is amazing. I just don't think I'm over it still.
I know. It was Sam's birthday, and I was like, Sam, would you like to go with me to the Malaysian High Commission?
And I said yes.
Yes, and I'm so glad you did, because if I really feel if you weren't there, or if I weren't there, none of us would have believed that we have this experience, because it was
No,
just
there are more
amazing.
photos, and I'm sure I could find them. I probably should have contacted that assistant, but yeah,
Yes,
maybe I
because
should, because I
while we
don't
were.
think I can't still can't believe it. So maybe I do need the photos.
Yes, please. And we'd love it if you would add that info to this later on. Yeah. Because that was absolutely surreal. But no,
Yeah.
Sam and I, so Her Majesty sat down. When we arrived, she was giving an interview to someone, and she explained to us really all the work that goes behind this exhibit and how that she'd like this to be really a lasting legacy of her husband's reign, really, and using her platform to promote Malaysian craftsmen around the world. And then she took us both on a tour of the entire exhibit, not once, but a couple of times. And additionally, she also introduced us to quite a lot of VIPs. I believe there were two first ladies, a queen, a couple of princes and princesses, a bunch of ambassadors. So really, it was just an amazing day altogether.
Yes, and I mean, I don't, you know, if anyone's, I was expecting it to be quite British, you know, like a royal lineup. I would have curtsied. Lovely to meet you. No, very welcoming, very charming, very graceful lady.
Yes, and I think one of the things that kept on going through my mind was that literally she was very regal, and she was the queen in every way possible, like very welcoming. She put us immediately at ease. We never really felt nervous in a sense, but it was just so amazing the way she treated us so nicely and opened herself up.
Very much so, very much so. I, you know, didn't expect it, didn't, you know, in my wildest dreams, but she was, yes, an amazing woman.
Yes, and this is the one picture we got with her. I'm afraid Sam was not able to get a picture yet,
Because
but
Sam's
hopefully we'll
camera
find one.
shy and she will get
Yeah.
over it one day, but.
Yes. But no, it was, thank you, Sam, for taking this picture, but it was really a surreal experience. And I think I really want to thank Her Majesty, and we want to use this opportunity to kind of highlight the amazing work that she did with this exhibit and the platform that she's provided, really,
Yes.
to all these craftsmen.
One, yes, absolutely wonderful. I can't thank her and the staff at the embassy as well. They were fantastic too.
Yes, they were really gracious. Her Majesty kind of introduced all her staff, the staff at the embassy, the Grand Chamberlain of the Malaysian Royal Court, who were really welcoming. And they have really said that we can get back to them over anything. So if you'd like to read a more kind of detailed view of everything that we saw, there's an article talking about the exhibit on the Royal Watcher website, which will also be linked in most of the descriptions to on YouTube and in the podcast. So you can definitely go check that out and see how you can kind of support Her Majesty's foundation and to kind of helping more people.
Yes.
So, Sam, what do you think was one of the most kind of memorable parts of the day for you?
Meeting the Queen of Malaysia.
Yeah.
I think I've been quite vocal about that, Sad. No,
Yes.
I think what just struck me, like I've just said, you know, she was so gracious, and I was fully expecting, you know, just a handshake on the lineup. But you know, then she was very welcoming. Come and sit with me. Let me explain things. I was, like I say, pinching myself. So it's a def unforgettable experience. And you know, she was such a wonderful, wonderful woman that you know, it's, yeah, it will be something I'll never forget.
Definitely. I think I practiced my bow and you practiced your curtsy, but I can't remember
I
if I
think
even
I
did the bow.
got a few inches before I was just like
I sure did. She was like, come on.
She was, because she was like, sit down, please make yourself comfortable. And I was like, I don't think I can sit in front of a queen, but
Yes,
I
while the queen
don't
is still
think I can
standing. Yeah. It was a very surreal experience. I think I remember every aspect in such clear detail still, because it was
Yes.
just amazing.
It was
Yeah.
probably the adrenaline. That's probably why I was like, oh my God.
No, I think that's the same thing that I was like. I was struck by kind of how down to earth she is, because Her Majesty and I have been kind of having conversations for the past couple of years, but to meeting her in person was just absolutely kind of surreal. And to see kind of that she was as welcoming and as gracious in real life as she was online was just amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. Oh, yeah. As I keep saying, we'll never forget that experience.
Well, I think it's time to call it an episode, and then I'll. Hopefully, in a couple of months, Sam and I will be joining you from Malaysia.
Yes, this is news to me, Sad. What?
Yes. our listeners will find out pretty soon enough.
Yeah, and so will I. What?
Call it a day. So.
Thanks for watching.
Okay. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.